everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Back with me for this week is my good friend and co-pastor here at Fairview Baptist, Dan Fisher. My name is Paul Blair. We work together here at Fairview Baptist Church, leading this congregation, probably leading them astray, but we also
into the ditch.
We try to give you all a biblical perspective of current cultural issues. You know, Dan, last time we were talking about the elections that were recently held and the great victory in the state of Virginia, and how optimistic we were that Virginia and other states will follow the lead of Florida.
Yeah.
And being a thumb in the eye of a tyrannical federal government.
I hope
and of
so.
Course, we talked about that was the big question back in 1787, as they were trying to create a perfect balance, which they obviously failed.
Yeah.
They wanted to create a perfect balance of an effective general government, but without giving it the possibility of becoming tyrannical. Well, now we basically have a federal government where on day one of a new presidency, the new president sits down with a stack of executive orders and signs order after order.
And that was never what executive orders were intended to be.
Exactly. Yeah. So the threat was, what happens whenever power gets concentrated?
Yeah.
And that's the question.
Yeah. Well, you know, we live, Paul, and I know you know this, and our listeners probably get it too. We live in a fallen world. Now, we have a biblical perspective on that. Adam sinned. He disobeyed God. He injected something called entropy, scientists call it. We call it sin, the sin principle into the world. And so now, fallen man tends to want to consolidate power. There are people that just, power always wants to consolidate. Our friend Bill Federer illustrates it like an open hand. That's decentralized power. But over time, because of the fallenness of man, evil men want to centralize that power. And I think it's a continual struggle. I think that's why Jefferson made the statement that from time to time, the tree of liberty has to be watered with the blood of patriots. And you won't take him literal and think that he was saying that you have to have a war all the time. I don't know that that's what he meant, but I do know that he meant there's a continual struggle in this fallen world to keep bad guys from consolidating all this power. That's the struggle.
Power is always a problem when it's in someone else's hands, but when it's in my hands,
well,
you can trust me.
Well, of course, you're benevolent, right?
Yeah, well, that's the way that's the way man always looks at it.
No, of course. It's always
when it was
the way
King
it is.
George, well, that's a problem, but now that we're in control, you know, Alexander Hamilton, you can trust me with the power.
No, right.
I'll take good care of it.
But unfortunately, today we have some really uber wicked men.
Yes.
I mean, you've got guys like Bill Gates who believes that 7 billion people need to die.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty wicked.
Yeah.
I mean, that even puts Adolf Hitler in the shade.
Right.
So, you know, those guys get the strings of power. What in the world could they do if they weren't checked? So the constant struggle has always been, can you keep power from being consolidated? And I think we in America have allowed, and I said this the last time, I'm a patriotic guy, and I love at least what America is supposed to be.
Right.
The America maybe I grew up in. But our love of America, I think, has blinded us to allow, to sit by and watch as nefarious people like Nancy Pelosi or even Mitch McConnell. I mean, that guy is not a conservative. We know that. We sit by and we watch it, and we don't want to say anything about it because we think if we do, we look unpatriotic. And our patriotism, I think, helps us to bury ourselves.
Well, you know, one of the things we've forgotten, and quite frankly, I think all of this is intentional. You know, when we had parents in control of education, we taught one thing.
Right.
But as, you know, beginning with LBJ in the mid-60s, with what was called the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, you began having Washington, D.C. control local public education.
Yeah.
And again, it was always supposed to be locally controlled. That's why you have a school board of parents elected by the parents, supposedly representing the parents to oversee the education of their kids. But beginning in I think it was 1965, you had the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, and you've got the federal government controlling what's being taught.
Yep.
And now we are being taught, and we just accept the fact that we elect an imperial president, and he rules over us, and we have an imperial court that rules over us, when that wasn't what it was at all.
No.
In fact, one area that I think is purposely being forgotten is the role of states. You know, even to some degree, they talk about the co-equal branches of federal government. There's supposed to be some tension between there, which obviously, I don't know how
those walls are gone now.
But there was also supposed to be a tension between the federal government and each state.
And the states, that's
and
exactly right.
And Madison himself, as late as 1801, very clearly said in a presentation to the Virginia legislature, the House of Burgesses back there, that the ultimate decider over what's constitutional or not was
the
that state. Yeah, exactly. So if Washington does something that's way out of bounds, we don't need a constitutional convention. We don't need a convention of states. We don't need to appeal to the Supreme Court.
No.
That state, that governor of that particular state is supposed to interpose and arrest the evil that's being poured out
from
Washington.
That is exactly right.
But we now are taught, well, you were in the legislature. What did they teach you in the legislature?
Oh, yeah, it's always Washington. What's D.C. going to think? And, you know, one of the things that our listeners may not know, the original design for the U.S. Senate, now we're talking about the Senate in D.C., was to guard state sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Those two senators, every state got an equal number, two, were actually appointed by the state legislatures. Right. A lot of people didn't even realize this. The 17th Amendment changed all of
that. Not a direct election.
No, right. Mm-hmm. So the legislature would send these guys to D.C. to watch over their particular state's best interests.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't do it right, they could call them back and, you know, give them a rebuke and send them back. And if they didn't get it right, they just replace them. But today, because of the 17th Amendment, senators are elected by popular vote. So now they're the same as a representative. So you got two houses of representatives. You got the House of Lords and the House of Commons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we've really gutted the way our original government was designed to work.
And even there, the Constitution delegated defined powers to the federal government. And then the federal government, you had one branch that was allowed to create law only in the areas that were defined.
Right.
And then you had one house representing the people.
Yep.
And that's why you
have
some
the people's
states.
House.
Exactly. And you've got some states with more representatives than others because that's based upon population.
Yeah.
But the Senate was to represent the states. Every state, doesn't matter whether you're Oklahoma with 4 million or Florida with 30 million, every state is a state and had an equal amount of representation.
That's right. Yeah.
That was supposed to provide a good balance, but obviously that door has been blown open now.
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
Because of the creation of money from nothing with the central bank.
Fiat currency and the whole
thing.
And
bribing the states. Mm-hmm. We now have turned states into basically divisions of the federal government that answer to the federal government rather than the other way around.
That's right. And so people follow us and they know that we're big state sovereignty guys. The reason why I could celebrate what happened in Virginia is that it was the people rising up saying, no, we don't want this and we're going to stop it. Now, do they get it to the next step? I don't know. I don't know what's going to come of that, but it's at least a positive thing that states are beginning to say no to Washington.
And praise the Lord for Ron DeSantis.
Oh, my gosh, I just started mentioning him.
Ron DeSantis is demonstrating just how much power a state has and what a good governor can do. And look at this. You had 320 million people across the United States all focused on the gubernatorial election in one state.
Yeah.
So I believe our message is starting to take root.
I do too.
And as we have a federal government that's doing more damage than good to we the people and to the states, we have people looking for answers and recognize that it's not going to come out of D.C.
No.
It's going to come in spite of D.C. So that being said, one of the things that also happened this week is this meeting in Glasgow, Scotland. The climate summit.
Aren't you glad? Don't you feel better?
Wasn't it great?
They're going to solve it.
Did you see the pictures? And they're talking about climate change. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, please understand, if you go back and do the research, and we will be pointing you to this. Matter of fact, I'm going to share this with you right now. Go to the website, www.declarationforliberty.com. You will have some great videos there, as well as an action item that we would invite you to read and participate with. But understand that the virus pandemic that we've just endured wasn't a surprise. There have been people from the Rockefeller Foundation, Johns Hopkins, Gates Foundation. They have been planning what to do and predicting.
Yeah.
One month before the very first case was reported in China,
voila,
they had a meeting. Look up Event 201 on your website, Event 201. They had a meeting at the Pierre Hotel in New York, and those three groups hosted it. They literally discussed, how will we respond if there was to be a bats-to-human SARS coronavirus?
Well,
lo and behold, 30 days later.
Weren't they good guessers?
That, what a wonderful, just threw a dart at the dartboard, happened to hit the bullseye.
Ouija board. What was now, that little ball?
Yeah, Super 8 Magic 8 Ball.
There you go.
Now, here's the thing. I believe that this thing, that I think they were overwhelmed by how successful they were with this card. I don't think they anticipated being nearly as successful. But I can't believe how quickly people in America would hand over liberty for the sake of a feigned loss of life.
It's unbelievable.
And again, mass, we've known mass viruses forever until this year. But anyway, but the thing that has been number one on their agenda and they have been working on unsuccessfully has been the climate. Bought it. Well, now that President Trump is out of office and they're going to try to push the Paris Climate Accord back into place, which, by the way, does nothing, and the UN even admits
it only clamps down on us.
Yeah.
We're the only ones who abide by it, and we pay for it.
Most of the nations came and signed on, have no obligations.
No, like China.
China didn't even do it. They're not going to do anything.
I understand.
In fact, China and Russia didn't even show up this week.
No, they belch out more smoke than anybody.
And did you love the picture? This important meeting that all the presidents of these different countries and prime ministers flew in on their private jets.
Yeah, it's 401 of them.
Yeah. And you see the pictures of like Boris Johnson and Vice President Biden sound asleep in their chairs while the conference is going on?
Well, that probably keeps Biden from screwing up. I hope he sleeps a lot more.
We should sleep about 23 hours a day.
I wish he would.
But the idea of climate change. Dan, one thing I think that's real simple to look at is you just look at history. You know, and you and I have talked before. You know, the Bible says that climate is always going to... We know that climate fluctuates. It always fluctuates.
Of course.
It says that after Noah got out of the ark.
Where do glaciers come from? There's still some glaciers.
Exactly. The first ice age. Yeah, and you're talking about Valley Forge. What was Valley Forge in the middle of?
Yeah, it was right, the Little Ice Age.
The Little Ice Age.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember George Washington driving around an SUV or flying in on his private plane.
Well, but lots of cattle and horses.
That's right, the methane.
Flatulence. You understand? And those soldiers ate a lot of beans, maybe. You just never know.
Well, history records the Roman warming period followed by a cooling period.
Oh, and by the way, I interrupted you.
That's okay.
Go ahead. During these warming periods, people flourish.
Exactly.
They do better.
Where would you rather try to survive, perhaps in, I don't know, Texas or Florida or California?
Or
in Alaska. Where do you want to plant a crop to hopefully sustain yourself? Well, cold kills. We saw that last year when we had that cold snap over in Oklahoma, Texas.
Oklahoma.
People thrive.
Sure.
And by the way, we talk about CO2, and they now call CO2 as a pollutant. What do they add in? Oh, yeah.
Did they ask the plants what they think of it?
And
how they hope for it?
What do they add in greenhouses where things grow
CO2.
Like
CO2.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it called by those that know it's called plant food.
That's exactly right.
And not a pollutant.
Yeah.
But they are wanting to restrict.
Well, it's also moron food,
thinking. But history, in fact, there's been articles recently. As the glaciers have, because we are in a small warming.
Well, we are.
There's
no question about it.
Coming out of the global.
Mini warming kind of.
It was warmer in the medieval warming period and in the Roman warming period
now.
Than it is right now.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they have discovered that there's evidence of the Vikings farming in Greenland.
Right.
They are finding evidence of forests
in
western Canada.
And by the way, Greenland is not named Greenland because it's Hawaii. They named it that so people
wouldn't go there.
Mislead
people,
right.
Exactly.
It's icy in Greenland.
Exactly.
Yeah, just
Iceland and Greenland were reversed.
The opposite.
Federalists and the anti-federalists.
There you go.
They've discovered the remnants of forests in western Canada, in Alaska, because they understand.
So what are you trying to say?
Well, that it always warms and cools and cools. Thousands of years, in fact, with the original ice age, thousands of years before there was an SUV or an airplane. Yeah. So basically what we've discovered is that there's something that really makes a difference on the temperature of planet Earth.
Something that's really hot.
Yeah, and big orange giant ball.
Does it have like big flares and prominences that come out sometimes?
And it sits right in the middle of, and we're the third rock from the sun.
I think. Oh.
That big orange thing.
You think that that might
have
some
effect.
Bearing on
Actually,
the temperature?
With 70% of the Earth being ocean, it has an effect on the CO2 production. Amazingly.
No.
I know we'd never think of that. I know a scientist would never think of that.
No.
But then again, if that was actually the solution, then we couldn't have carbon taxes. And by the way, every human being emits CO2.
Yeah.
So if it's now a pollutant, we've got to control it.
Got to get rid of people.
Then we've got to control and minimize people. And control their behavior.
And scare them. And scare them more than anything
scare
else.
That works.
Make them fearful.
Notice
yeah.
what's happened
well,
here
the COVID
this year.
Thing. Exactly. It's the fear thing.
We'll scare people. We'll get them to slap on a mask, even though it doesn't do any good.
Yeah.
And stay inside their house, even though that doesn't do any good.
Sure.
I got to share this. This was really frustrating to me. This is a little bit, it's kind of on topic, but when does topic ever kept us?
Never.
We've never abided by the rules. My wife noticed a Facebook post from somebody I would consider in a circle of friends. I'm not a close friend, but somebody I would consider a conservative and attends a pretty good church, and you know, somebody that might attend one of our reclaiming conferences. It's more on, and she was lamenting that her husband has been diagnosed with COVID, and he is apparently suffering a little bit, and you know, we certainly grieve that. We don't want to see anybody suffer. But she started out with her post. She said, "We followed all the rules. We've had 2 vaccines. We're about to get our booster. We wore our masks. We stayed home. We've washed our hands and done all the everything we're supposed to do. And my husband still got COVID." Well, logically, I would conclude that that shows that the vaccines don't work.
And all these other measures
don't work.
Either. Yeah.
Do you know what this precious, I would not use her name, but this precious young lady literally came out and said, "Why don't you people that are unvaccinated go get your vaccines? Why are you in danger?" Now, if you've been vaccinated, then you're safe.
Well,
how
you
can
would
me?
Think
yeah,
you
exactly.
Are.
Well, supposedly.
Yeah.
How could me being vaccinated or not affect you? It can't.
No, it'd be like I'm wearing a bulletproof vest, and I get shot, and I blame you because you weren't
if
wearing.
I'm
a
not wearing
vest,
what endangers your life.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like the lady that asked me, "Where's my mask?" in that post office, and I wanted to say, "Where's your makeup?" But I didn't do that. I didn't do that. But I did ask her because she kept talking to somebody else about me, and so finally I said, "Lady, if your mask is as safe as you think it is, you're okay.
You're okay. That's right.
I'm the guy that's making
myself
vulnerable.
You're the one that's putting your life online." Exactly.
Yeah. So the whole climate change thing is true. Scientifically, the climate's been changing.
Always been, warmer, drier, warmer, cooler.
It's cyclical.
Yep.
It has to do, amazingly, with the cycles of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So that much we know scientifically, but it's the control factor.
Exactly.
And it's the same with COVID. And I think they learned a lot with COVID. And I think they're learning a lot with this climate thing. And by the way, those guys, many of them, who are always talking about how the ocean's going to flood all the beaches, they all own very expensive property.
On the beach.
Yeah.
And they don't have any of them for sale.
Right. In fact, some of them are buying more. Now, if I thought... Right.
Exactly. All right. Now, this is going to be an easy softball question, but we've got to wrap up because we're out of time. So, if we've got people that are in office, and I'm not going to say elected to office, but I'm going to say people in office that are representing the United States of America, functioning inside the Beltway, trying to rule over the people, and they've used COVID successfully to try to strike fear in the hearts of people, and we know by their own mouths that they are going to use climate as the next existential threat.
Sure.
Well, if Washington is actually a part of the problem, then how can we, the people, defend ourselves politically in the current environment?
I believe the answer is get your state to stand up and say no. It's just like what Alan West did today at an airport. It was either today or yesterday. Mm-hmm. A guy started screaming and yelling at him saying, "Where's your mask?" And Alan West walked up to the guy and pulled his mask down and said, "See, it didn't make a bit of difference, did it?" And the guy doubled up his fist, and Alan just walked away.
Did he really?
And Alan West then said on his post, he said, "Congress has never passed a law that it's illegal not to wear a mask."
Right.
These people just think that because somebody has said, like a Fauci or a Biden or whoever, that it's a law. It is not a law. And so states and people just need to start bowing up and saying, "Look, you cannot tell us how to live."
In Article 1, Section 8, even with Congress having the power to make law, they don't have the power to legislate law in that particular arena because it was never given.
No, that is exactly. So for me, the answer is for the states to begin to stand up. Now, I know some are not.
Yep.
And you and I always talk about the 20 to 26 or 7 states where you could still save a republic. We actually want a republic.
Right.
We like the Declaration of Independence.
And that's a perfect segue to introduce people again, to remind, go visit our website, Declaration. Yep. for Liberty, declarationforliberty.com. Virginia was very encouraging. New Jersey was surprisingly close.
Yeah.
But that's the answer. Just as we've seen with Ron
States.
DeSantis.
States.
As we see with Alan West on the run for Texas. Boy,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh,
he is
wow.
a warrior. But yeah. we have strong governors and strong states. That is the recipe to what ails us. It is we the people of the United States of
yeah.
America. So
yeah.
states are the answer. Buddy, it's so good to have you back in
good to be
town.
Back.
It's good to I honestly missed you. You were
Ooh.
Just gone too long. I mean, two
oh,
weeks.
My heart cannot take the shot.
Things just ran so remarkably smooth around
oh,
here.
It was
just,
now there you go. See, I thought there was a compliment coming my way.
Well, yeah. folks, it's good to have you joining us for another session of Riding the Storm Out. Again, providing a biblical perspective, a politically incorrect but biblically correct perspective from a couple of soon-to-be-out-of-work pastors
yeah, exactly
on current
right.
cultural issues. So thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week.